For another Friday the 13th, March 13th. Okay, we have two public hearings and two work sessions, and so first thing I would like to open up a work session on House Bill, a public hearing on House Bill 2848, when it is sponsored by our resident here, Representative Johnson.
You might as well just join this group.
And apparently Representative Doherty.
Can I be an honorary member?
I think you should.
Yes, you can be.
Well, you'll have to fight Representative Barnhart for me. He wants me in revenue. So. Okay. I'll have to. He's Margaret. Anyway.
I bet we're more fun.
Let's hope. Well, thank you, committee members and Chair Doherty, for letting me be here again. This is great. I love what you're doing. Been following your progress from afar. Today, I'd like to talk to you about House Bill 2848. And Chair Doherty, don't forget that you also are.
And if you could say your name for the record, please.
Oh, I am.
We
Mark
know
Johnson.
You, but the television doesn't.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Mark Johnson. I live in Hood River and I represent the beautiful House District 52. And I was just reminding the committee that you also are a chief co on this with me, so I appreciate your support, Madam Chair. I want to just begin by reading the whereases on this bill, because it does kind of frame the discussion or what we're trying to accomplish with this. It says, whereas Oregon has one of the shortest instructional years in the nation, and whereas lost instructional time has a negative impact on student learning, and whereas as much quality learning time as possible is necessary in order to achieve this state's 40-40-20 educational goal, and whereas instructional days that are added to the end of a traditional school year are widely acknowledged not to be quality learning time, now therefore we get into the bill. So just a little background on what my concerns are and what we're trying to address, and this really does come from my perspective as a now 10-year school board member in Hood River. It's an issue that we've faced on multiple occasions, but again, I'm sure you all are likely aware of just how Oregon ranks nationally regarding the amount of instructional time that our students are able to receive. I couldn't source the information, but I've been told that of the, I think, 42 or 3 states that have adopted the Common Core state standards, that Oregon has the shortest amount of instructional time for its students of any of those states. To the point that, again, I can source this, I don't have it in front of me, but I've been told that our students will have one full instructional year less over the course of a K-12 career than some students in other states. So that's obviously a serious setback for our kids. It puts them at a handicap with our other states across the country as you talk about being competitive. But it also illuminates the fact that I do think we need to make sure that every day is a quality instructional day and that our kids get the most out of every day that they possibly can. And with our current budget situation, I think it's unlikely that this state's going to be able to significantly lengthen the calendar year anytime in the very near future. So because of that, I think it's extremely important that we protect each instructional day that we're able to offer our kids, and also to make sure that to the extent possible that each day is a quality day. So this bill is focused on attempting to deal with what do we do in those situations when we miss school. Weather happens, unforeseen circumstances happen. This has obviously been an incredibly mild winter here in Oregon, but we had the cold snap, or we had that little storm that came through in November, and in Hood River County School Districts, we lost 2.5 days of school in that one event in November. Fortunately, we haven't lost any further, but our kids lost 2.5 days back in November. So the question is, what do we do with those days? Typically, those days would be added on to the end of the traditional school calendar that each district adopts each year. And while the middle of June can be a beautiful time here in Oregon, I think I would submit that it's not necessarily the best time to make up lost instructional time. As you can well imagine, this is typically the time of year when, you know, spring fever has really kicked in, and the thoughts of students are typically focused on being ready to blast out the door and start your summer break, rather than focusing on whatever good instruction that your teacher is providing for you. And at the secondary level, oftentimes, school districts have already had their high school and middle school graduations, because those things do need to be scheduled far in advance so that parents and family can attend those and honor the kids at that time. And those students don't have the benefit of receiving that additional instructional time, because they're essentially done at a prescribed date time there in June. And this So also there can be pressures placed upon districts to not make up those lost days at the end of the year. And this is something that we encounter or have encountered quite frequently in the past in Hood River because, you know, there's a date and time on a calendar when school is expected to be out. Parents make plans about, you know, we're going to go to Wally World and we're going to give you the best vacation ever. They purchase plane tickets, they've made reservations in rooms and so forth, and we get a significant amount of pressure from parents saying, don't add those days back in, please. We've got plans. Don't you know you're going to upset our life plans for our kids? Also, it's not at all uncommon now for students to have made plans to start summer jobs. They've got to get out of school. They've got to get back to work, maybe in our community especially, supporting their families in our Latino-dominated community. It's a serious problem for some of our families, too, to have to deal with these, again, make-up days that happen at the end of the year. So what would happen, and what this bill simply says, and again, as a school board member, I'm sensitive to local control and not trying to usurp districts' abilities or mandate certain activities, but basically it just says in the bill, to the extent practical, school calendars shall be designed to allow for instructional days that were lost due to weather conditions or other foreseen circumstances to be made up during that same instructional period of the calendar year in which they were lost. So how this could happen is a district could simply add in a three-day weekend or two, let's say, within the first semester of school. If you don't need to make up the days, it becomes a nice break for the family, a nice break for the kids and so forth. If you do need to make them up, you could do that as well. Something we started going to in Hood River County is we now, last, I'm going to say, 3 years, maybe four, we take the whole week of Thanksgiving off. Traditionally, in the past, it's been you'd go to school Monday, Tuesday, and then you're off the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and so forth. To give a nice break for family break there. But that would be obviously another option, too, to go to school those first 2 days of that week. You'd still have your Thanksgiving break off and so forth. So there are multiple ways to do it. And, again, just because you design a calendar that allows for it doesn't mean that you have to do this. You could still add those days on to the end of the year if you wanted to. But this is simply intended to be a tool that districts can use to begin to communicate with their communities to have a conversation about what the values are, how the districts can best serve the needs of their students and their families, and how can we do that to make sure that as if we're going to have to make up these instructional days, let's make sure that they're quality days. Because as you can imagine, if you're in the midst of a unit on, let's say, Oregon history in fourth grade, and you miss a couple of days there, you don't have the value of really getting all that instruction you might want to get, and then having those days added on into some nondescript period in June sometimes can become a little more than, I'll just say, glorified babysitting. So that's what the bill is about. I'd love to have your conversations or thoughts about it. And in on all this, if you'll notice, there is a letter of support from Mr. Bob Danko, who is also a fellow school board member of mine in Hood River County. So with that, Madam Chair, I'd be happy to talk to anybody about any questions they have.
Okay. Do you have any questions? Representative McLean.
I had only one, and that is that, you know, usually there's like one in-service day in the fall, and there's one in-service day in the spring, and usually the in-service day or grading day. It can be like half in-service and half grading. And I just wanted to make sure that, you know, because that's the only day you get.
Agreed.
And I wanted to make sure that they don't get
I agree. We wouldn't
put
want
on
to
those
compromise.
Days.
Compromise, you know, staff development days or those other critical times that teachers need to have to make sure that they can do their work.
So I was just wondering if it needed to be in language in the bill. That was all I was just interested in, because I find, you know, when somebody asks somebody to have a responsibility of putting it back in the next 3 to 5 weeks, and if that's the only day that's on the calendar that looks like it's something they could do, that would be the one that they would go to first.
Well, and one thing I just want to remind you, a lot of those days are written in the collective bargaining agreement. So
they are. Typically, they're covered
by that. And so those
are
kind of CBA. Sacred days for that. Representative Frederick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Okay, I understand. I'm just trying to figure out when the time frame would be for after Thanksgiving, because in my experience, there's not a lot of days that are available that are not holidays.
Correct.
And are not designated. Help me find when those
it's more difficult. Representative Frederick, it would be more difficult in December, because obviously, you know, you depending on the calendar, you're going to go through December 16th through 20th or something, or into the 22nd even perhaps, and then you have your extended break. Mm-hmm. So it would be more difficult. I'm gonna say it's going to be somewhere in that late November time frame, but there could be a third weekend somewhere in December that could be a three-day weekend as well, at the discretion of the district.
Follow-up. The concern I have is that we do have emergency days during November, October and November, and somewhat of December. Most of them tend to, at least in my experience in Portland, most of them tend to be January, February.
Correct.
And I'm not sure, before the spring break, and so I'm not sure that there are any open spots in there, unless I'm missing something there.
Well, Representative Frederick, it's doable, because we have done it in Hood River County in the past. We have had some years when we built this into our calendar. And
I'd like to see, though. That's
I could certainly bring you an example of that, and I'd be happy to follow up just to see the, in fact, if I might add, we just have... I went back for a school board meeting this last Wednesday, and we're in that process right now of going over the calendar for next year. The administration gave us three options on kind of a traditional year, but the board said, bring us back a calendar that could allow us to build in those days should we choose to. So we'll be getting that really quickly, so I'd be happy to share it with you.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
You bet.
Representative Riddle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Johnson, I don't know how many days you're looking at for a cushion here, but why couldn't you just start the last week in August, you know, prior to that, then they still get out in June, and maybe even a week early in May if you didn't use up the days?
Representative Barreto, it is a good way to do that, to lengthen that potential year a little bit longer, but it gives you then the ability to put in some of that flex time, if you will, within the calendar. That's typically what you would do, maybe start a couple of days earlier to allow you to build in some additional time. And the other thing you have to be careful about, and all educators would, I think, agree with me, is you don't want to create more broken up weeks than you need to. You know, the more full instructional five-day weeks you can have, the better. I think any teacher will tell you that, and I'm sure Rep. Frederick's nodding from his experience in the classroom as well. So we'd have to be considerate of that. But I would say that if there are a couple of days in the fall and a couple of more between, let's say, January and June, that's probably adequate. Again, it says to the extent practicable. And a district could do however they wanted to. They could put one in the fall and one in the spring, and that would be enough as well. It's just the idea that it gives you that option of plugging that day back in. And it's still, again, close to that same instructional time in which you lost it.
Thank you. So you would leave that flexibility up to the individual
Absolutely.
School districts, mm-hmm. except maybe spring break, they all get the same week up there.
Exactly.
Representative Rubin.
So I really like this idea of having the makeup time done sooner. Just curious, so do you see every district then having to negotiate that in their contract on how the decision would be made to backfill the days?
Representative Reardon, good question. That conversation be left up to the local level. It'd be something, obviously, if you're in the middle of a collective bargaining agreement, it's not the time to go in and try to impose something, and I don't think districts should want to do that. But each time you sit down to negotiate for the next go-around, you have a chance to say, what are we going to do about this? The state has said that we have the ability, or they're encouraging us to design a calendar that allows for this to happen. How can we unfold that into the process here? And I think I would envision it as a collaborative process, which it can be, and it has been in our situation.
Well, and again, from the collective bargaining process, there's usually a number of how many you work, X amount of student contact days, X amount of work days, X amount of holidays. So that's usually in the collective bargaining agreement.
Correct.
But usually the making up of the calendars permissive for
it
some
is
management
permissive
right.
Item.
So as long as it doesn't exceed, well, it can exceed what's in the contract, but you have to pay them.
Exactly,
so, anyway.
Which we'd be happy to do if we had
Absolutely.
Resources to do that with.
So, anyway, any other questions? Because I think one thing on this, when you look at the flexibility, I mean, it's all different times, and this is one thing I like about having the local option. I mean, you know, granted, there's a little more snow in Hood River County, but people are more used to it. as opposed to the metro area, and maybe there are parts of the state that just doesn't get inclement weather days, maybe in the southern or in, you know, the south coast or whatever. But on calendars, to make it a local thing, I mean, the phenomenon of 2 weeks at Christmas is a fairly new phenomenon. I remember many times teaching the 23rd and then coming back on the 1st. But and so there's also the flexibility. So I think the local school districts kind of know what it is. And I know on Hood River's calendar, every Monday there's a late start. And for, you know, curriculum and that kind of thing. I mean, that sort of thing can be done. But as long as, you know, if the contract says there are these many work days, these many conference preps, these many work days, these many holidays, how that is in the calendar other than holidays, because a holiday is a holiday, is usually up to the discretion of the school board. So anyway, that's up to them. Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your time. Okay. Have a great weekend.
You too. Mark.
Thank you.
Safe trip.
That's right.
Bye-bye again.
Okay, and there was no one else signed up for House Bill 2048. Is there anyone out there who'd like to speak on it? Okay, if not, I close the public hearing on House Bill 2848. And that's right, I can't remember why. We do it like right now. Okay. Speaking of scheduling, we are going to change the schedule a little bit, and we're going to actually open up a work session on House Bill 2680. And Richard, if you could remind us what this is.
Yes.
I forgot we were supposed to do this. We could not do it between 2 and 2:15. So we're doing
it
now.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2680. Prohibits the use of statewide summative assessments developed by a state-led consortium to establish summative ratings of schools or to make summative evaluations of teachers or administrators. It directs the superintendent of public instruction to convene a work group related to statewide summative assessments developed by a state-led consortium to cause an emergency effective on passage. The committee has been asked to consider the -2 amendments, which the committee actually previously considered already, and which would change state-led to multi-state. There was a revised fiscal impact statement issued this morning, and so that is actually on OLIS and also in your packet on the dais. It does not have any subsequent referral.
Okay. Representative Frederick.
Yes, Chair Doherty, I move to adopt the -2 amendments, HB 2680, dated February 2nd, 2015.
Okay, Representative Frederick moves to adopt the -2 amendments to House Bill 2680, dated February 2nd, 2015. Is there any discussion?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I just wanted to point out that the little packet that was just given to you is was something that I received by email, and also had a phone call with the author. And this is someone who has worked in the state of Oregon and also been a teacher and also worked on state reforms for education, including a lot of different items that were previous to the work that we are working on today, which is the smart balance test. But she has some perspectives and some national as well as state, I think, information that's extremely beneficial, and that it does relate to this and other work that we're doing in the committee.
Okay,
and
so I just an information piece.
Yes, more an information piece. And then when you're ready for other discussion,
okay, you'll Madam Chair, members of the committee, just for anybody in the audience, that's also available on OLIS.
Okay, thank you. So is there any further discussion? Okay, is there any objection? Okay, seeing none, the amendments are adopted.
Chair Doherty, I move HB 2680 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative Frederick moves House Bill 2680 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Representative
Madam Chair, we just received the new report on the fiscal, you know, as what they consider to be their best guess.
Right.
And I didn't know if anybody wanted to discuss that or not. I believe it's very minimal.
It is.
And I don't believe that there's a risk of losing any funds at the federal level. And I think that people have been vetting and researching and going through that to make sure that would not happen.
Right.
And so I think that we can feel positive about supporting this and that there's not any problems with the funding that we get from our federal partners or anything we're doing here in the state as far as this particular type of testing.
Mm-hmm. And the one thing about fiscals is that the legislative revenue or the fiscal office really needs to go and have to look at the worst case scenario. So it's one of these things that if for some reason a waiver was not granted, then this could be the financial and so on and so forth. And so on there, they went through and mentioned that, but they also talked about the task force and so on. So anyway, Representative Frederick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to make sure that because this is an issue, these are issues surrounding other things that I've been concerned about. I want to make it clear that I still believe that the Smarter Balanced test and the Common Core standards at this particular point are developmentally inappropriate and create a psychological impact on students in ways that I think are also inappropriate. So I'm very pleased to see this bill, but I am concerned about, on a broader scale, the issues that we're dealing with.
Well, you may have some time next Friday to talk about that.
But I wanted to pass that along because this relates to it.
Thank you. Representative Hack.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So if there is an issue with the federal funding not coming through, will that be addressed if we pass this?
It is my intent that that would be addressed, and I think the reason is that then when you go through and the waiver will be, just because of the time frame that we're talking about, that the waiver would probably be a yes or a no, and they're pretty good about going through and waiving things, especially if the state has done due diligence and so on. And so we would know before this would be implemented.
Okay. So yeah. if we were going to lose our waiver, would we have the ability to not do this, or would it be too late at that point?
That I don't know.
I can speak to that. I'm Madam Chair, members of the committee, Representative Hack. What we have from the timeline from the Department of Ed, and please, the Department of Ed is here so they can correct me if I'm wrong, the waiver process kind of begins or is kind of ongoing and formalizes next month, mm-hmm. which leaves enough time in the process for further legislative action during the 2016 session.
Thank you. And I'd just like to say, too, that I think that this is a good bill and I'm supportive. I do think that we do need summative assessments to some degree, though. I don't think where we're headed is necessarily the right direction, but I do think that we're going to need to come up with some sort of summative assessment. So I look forward to what happens with the work group and the work that will be done there. Mm-hmm. So thank you for presenting this bill.
Okay, other comments?
Madam Chair.
Representative Wilson.
Yeah, Madam Chair, thank you. I want to thank Representative Frederick for his comments. I agree completely with that. I think this is a nice thing to do, a good thing to do today, as we continue to exercise our care over kids and appreciate parents. As far as what Representative Hack says, too, I do believe there will need to be some form of summative assessment along the way. Again, I don't believe that we're on the correct path right now, but that's why we do things. That's why we discuss things at this level. And so looking forward to what we're doing in the days ahead here. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, is there any further discussion? Okay, seeing none, will the clerk please read the roll?
Representative
Hack.
Aye. Representative
Klein. Aye.
Representative Caluso.
Aye.
Representative Reardon.
Aye.
Representative Wilson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick.
Yes.
Vice Chair Springer.
Excused.
Chair Gordy.
Yes. Okay. With that, the motion is adopted. And we have a carrier. Who is on that?
Huh? It's yours.
Would you like to carry this? Or? Okay. Representative McLean will carry the bill. Okay, with that, did I close the session?
Yeah, I'll close it now.
Okay, I close the work session on House Bill 2680. And I'm going to open up a public hearing on... Do you want me to do both? Okay, I'll open a public hearing on House Bill... Okay, I'm closing the public hearing on House Bill 2939, which I did not even get out. And... We will open up a work session on House Bill 2648.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2648 establishes the Oregon Education Account for purposes of providing outdoor school programs. The committee has been asked to consider the Dash 3 amendments. The Dash 3 amendments do a lot of stuff, and Mr. Campbell's here in the audience, so I encourage you to ask him questions. The committee has been asked to move the measure to revenue for potential further revenue consideration, and it will then go to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means after that.
This is one I laughed on the other day.
Madam Chair.
Yes. So anyway, why don't we get an amendment out, and then we'll discuss it.
Okay.
Chair Doherty, I move to adopt the -3 amendments to House Bill 2648, dated March 12, 2015.
Okay. Representative Frederick moves to adopt the -3 amendments to House Bill 2648, dated March 12, 2015. Is there discussion? Representative Wilson, the representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just trying to make sure that the mistake in line 6 of section 2 of the original bill has been taken care of.
Okay. Mr. Campbell, would you like to come up and maybe address that? And what was that?
This should be the word distinct instead of district.
Oh, it should be. Okay.
That's on the original bill.
Okay.
Yeah, I just want to make sure.
So if you want to maybe address it to Mr. Campbell. Was that distinct versus district?
Right.
Okay. So if you want to repeat what the line is, so do you know what he's talking about? Okay. Go ahead.
Madam Chair, Representative Wilson, yes, the word distinct has been replaced with districts in these amendments.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Try the other way.
Mr. Reardon?
Excuse me. So it goes from district to distinct. Yes?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Correct.
Mm-hmm. It goes from district to distinct.
Yeah.
Right.
The word district is incorrect. The word should be distinct.
Correct.
The outdoor education account is established in the state treasury separate and distinct from the general fund, as opposed to separate and district.
We're just trying to help here.
Madam Chair, Representative Reardon, can you give me the section and subsection rather than the line, because I have the amendments which replace the bill in toto.
On the original bill, section 2, line 6, so section 2, 1. Line 1.
Madam Chair, Representative Reardon, I don't think that sentence even exists in the new
No, I don't
language.
Think it does.
Thank you.
So I think it's
thank
been
you.
Removed.
So it distinctly does not exist.
Yeah.
Representative Frederick.
Thank you. Mr. Campbell, I'm concerned about one thing. It is section 2A, and it says provide a 6-day residential hands-on educational experience. I know that the Portland schools have not doing 6 days, haven't been able to do it for quite some time. Does this leave them out of this particular thing, or is it just encouraging them to have a 6-day event?
Madam Chair, Representative Frederick, what this does is it would provide the money should they choose to use the money to do a full 6-day program. This replaces their need to provide the money for the program across the board.
Thank you very much.
But it is not a requirement.
It is not a requirement.
Do a 4-day?
Would like to ask
Madam Chair, Representative Hack, the goal is to have a 6-day because that is the best way to do the program. And what will be the responsibility of Oregon State University is to work with the local jurisdiction to try to accomplish a 6 if it can be done. But if it can't, this allows them to have local flexibility to reflect local needs and abilities. So you could do a 4-day. Our goal, of course, is to do a 6-day.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions about the amendments?
Well,
yes, Representative Reardon.
If it's a waste of time, just say so. But I was trying to read through 4 amendments, and they all looked about the same. Is there some subtle difference that I'm not seeing? And
Madam Chair, Representative Reardon, the difference is that the -2s are essentially the same as the -3s, except that the -3s thoroughly explain what the role of Oregon State University Extension is in the bill, and that's the difference between the -2 and the -3s. Otherwise, they should look very similar.
They did.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Answer your question.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Is there any other discussion? Is there any objection to the amendments? Okay. Seeing none, the amendments are adopted.
Chair Doherty, I move House Bill 2648 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that it be referred to the Committee on Revenue and then to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
OK. Okay, Representative Frederick moves House Bill. I'm going to start laughing again. Okay. Representative Frederick moves House Bill 2648 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that it be referred to the Committee on Revenue and then to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion?
She has Reardon next to her.
Oh, Representative Reardon.
Super supportive of the bill. I love outdoor school. Extremely concerned about where the funding is.
Yeah.
So great policy. I hope we can find the money for it.
And that's why we are a policy committee.
Yeah.
And not Ways and Means. Okay, any other further discussion? Okay, if not, will the clerk read the roll?
Representative Hack.
Yes.
Representative Klein.
Yes.
Representative Peluso.
Aye.
Representative Reardon.
Aye.
Representative Wilson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick.
I would do aye.
Aye.
Vice Chair Springer.
Excused. Yes. Who initially presented this bill? Okay. So that the motion passes, and we don't need a carrier because it is going to the revenue and the joint ways and means. Okay. With that, I don't need it. So with that, I close the public hearing or close the work session on 2648. And open up a public hearing on, which one, 2939? Okay, if you could read the, what it is.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2939 prescribes salary calculation for substitute teachers in school district that has a class schedule based on a four-day week, declares emergency effective July 1st, 2015.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Would you like to speak to this?
Yes, I would. I would like to introduce this bill. This is Phyllis Kirkwood with the Oregon Substitutes Association, and I'm Representative Doherty, Margaret Doherty, with House District 35 in Tigard in Southwest Portland. And in reference to this bill, the first year I was out of college, I was a substitute teacher for a year in the Beaverton School District, and I had to have the same qualifications as a teacher. I was a licensed teacher. Had the same licensure as everybody else, and I actually made what I would have made per day as a beginning teacher, because substitute teachers are paid the average of the beginning teacher salary, and maybe it was a little bit lower because Beaverton paid a little higher. So for a year I was a substitute teacher and substituted everything from calculus to auto shop to 7th grade English on April Fool's Day, 1974. So with this, it was just, you know, it is, you have got all the qualifications as the regular classroom teacher. And things have changed a little bit with how we structure schools. We have the salary was based on a five-day week. And now we have many school districts that have a four-day week, which makes it a longer day, yet the salary is the same. And so that's why we're here. And so I'm going to turn it over and go back up to the dais, unless you have any questions, to Phyllis Kirkwood.
Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Chair Doherty. I'm Phyllis Kirkwood of Beaverton and the Oregon Substitute Teachers Association. Since 1975, we've been working to raise the standards and the image of substitute teachers in Oregon. All of the substitute teachers are licensed, many with master's degrees, and they are trying to carry on that quality education that was spoken of before. Since we have so few days of school, we need to make each day count. And to that end, we keep ourselves educated and licensed. We are required to do a continuing professional development, and many of us do have master's degrees. The purpose of House Bill 2939 is to address a problem in the four-day schools. we found in doing our research that in the five-day schools, the teachers, regular teachers, have the same planning time, the substitutes have the same planning time as the regular teachers. But in the four-day schools, because of the wording of our, daily minimum salary, it makes it easy for school districts to continue paying the daily minimum based on 8 hours, in spite of the fact that they're now teaching a 9-hour day. Now, in the beginning, we thought it was going to be a 10-hour day, and that's why our bill had a 1.25, but the Dash 1 amendment that we asked for changed it and cut that in half. So it is now 1.125, which has the effect of adding 1 hour to the day, making it a 9-hour day. And we found that that was the case in many, a pattern had developed where the substitute teachers were called to work and left with the students. They had no planning time. And as professional teachers who were hired to carry on the instructional program, we found this to be unacceptable because the teacher has created a lesson plan for you. Being a conscientious person, you're going to come in early and read that and prepare and assimilate this to implement the lesson in an effective manner, whether you're paid or not for that time. And that's what the teachers are doing now. We just think it's fair to make certain that they have the same hours as the regular teacher. It's just a fairness issue. So Chair Doherty asked me to explain how the basic minimum is derived. Excuse me. Every year in April, there's a gentleman named Brian Reeder in the Oregon Department of Education, and he figures the average beginning teacher in the state. Then that annual salary is divided by 190 school days, and 1/85th, or the percentage, 85% of that number is the salary. So it does not involve any pay for experience, for education, or any fringe benefits. It's a low basic minimum, and it can go down. I think a couple of times it went down. So this salary that we're proposing for the four-day schools will fluctuate with that, since it's based on that figure. This year, the basic minimum is $171.52. And the daily rate is $21.44. So adding the $21.44, we get $192.96 for...
And that's for the 10-hour day, for the 4-day
For a 9-hour day.
Yes.
The 9-hour day. So basically, we have the basic salary, then the salary after what would be 10 days, but in the 4-day schools, it has to be after 8 days, because that is the end of 2 weeks when you become a long-term substitute teacher. So that is part of the bill, too.
Madam Chair.
And so that's what it is. What substitute teachers is, you're on a long-term substitute assignment of 10 days. You get paid an extra amount of money because you're doing all of the preparation and that kind of thing. And so with this bill, it would be after 8 days, you would receive what we refer to as a long-term substitute salary, which is set in statute.
Yes, we have our chart with comparing the duties of a regular teacher with a substitute teacher. The substitute teacher interprets the daily plans and executes them, establishes rapport with new students, corrects the papers generated that day, administers discipline according to many different classrooms in different schools, writes a report for the regular teacher about the work accomplished, and most importantly, maintains confidentiality going all these different schools. How tempting to be able to, over in such and such school, something happened. No, we have to maintain our ethics as professional teachers. So some of you have found this chart to be quite helpful.
Awful.
And this is the chart that we were finally have gotten put together, and it shows that there are 68 schools with a four-day schedule, and some of them do go to school on Friday if Monday was a holiday, and that kind of helps to solve the problem of maintaining the hours of instruction. So many of these schools have been on a four-day schedule for 20 years or more.
Yeah.
It shows the student hours, substitute hours, the substitute salary, the teacher hours, which are usually not reduced from a five-day week salary. Is the instructional time reduced? No. And then sometimes you'll see on here if the teachers go to school, have an 8-hour day or 8.5 hours instead of 9 hours. They are doing some work on Friday.
Like other days, on Fridays, yeah.
And, but even so, that substitute who's going to be making a 9-hour salary isn't going to be making more money or fringe benefits than the regular teacher. Mm-hmm. Okay. I found it also interesting that we send 5 students to Nevada to be educated in McDermott.
Oh, really?
It was just so interesting. So some of these schools, like with 3 students, and they very seldom have a substitute, or they can't even find one who's qualified. So I found this whole study to be quite interesting. But the bottom line is that House Bill 2939 would cost $164,000, and that's an average of 2,400 per district. The total number of substitute days, approximately 8,000. So.
Yeah, and that 164,000 is spread over all of the 60 whatever or 80 whatever districts.
The 68 districts, yes. We thought it was going to be a little bit more, but when we finally got all the districts called, it was not quite that much.
Right. Okay. Okay. Are there any questions of Ms. Kirkwood? Yes, Representative Hack.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to say thank you for bringing this to our attention. I don't think that I know myself. I didn't realize that that was happening until you came to visit me in my office. Mm-hmm. And obviously, we want people to be paid for the hours that they work. And so I just wanted to say thank you for bringing that to our attention.
Thank you so much, Representative Hack.
Okay, any other questions? I find this interesting. If you go through on the this to me, her testimony is very good, and it is kind of just evening out what should be done. But I like that. I think, did ODE do this, or did you guys do the chart?
We did it.
Okay, and so it does show actually what the fiscal responsibility is to the school districts. And I love 00, which, by the way, in Hardy County, I've never heard of this school district, and I thought I knew them all. It will be $64 because they have two children. And I don't know.
Wow.
But anyway, I thought this was very good. I appreciate the getting the numbers down. And one question I have, so the $171.52, would they be making another $20 more about?
$21.44. But, of course, it changes every year.
Right.
It could go down
right.
a little or up a little.
Right. And the substitute teacher salary has gone down and then had to go up because there were a lot of years that there were either no salaries or that beginning teacher salary got lower because of furlough days and so on. Mm. So anyway, any other questions about this?
And Madam Chair.
Yes.
The salary is based on teachers who have a bachelor's degree. Well, that's kind of hard to find now. Mm-hmm. And at one point, they wanted to change to just take that out and let it be all beginning teachers because many of them have a master's degree now. So that's another variable.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any other questions? Thank you, Ms. Kirkwood, very much for bringing us all the information. And I do have to make a note, when I was a substitute teacher in Beaverton in 1974, Ms. Kirkwood was the president of the Beaverton Substitutes Association.
Wow.
And so we go back a couple of years.
Yeah.
So anyway, thank you very much. Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Carl Wilson, House District 3, Grants Pass. I wanted to take a moment to support Mrs. Kirkwood here. It would be the first time in my life that I've ever done anything good and in support of a substitute teacher. Or my career as
confessing.
Confessing. Here we go.
I thank
were you that
much
student
for
in class?
Your testimony.
Thank you very much. That is true.
That was
okay.
Assumed.
Now let's all fall yes. pencils.
Yeah, that's just an assumption, though, right?
We already assumed that, so
yeah, okay.
I thought so.
Was there anyone else signed up for this one?
No.
Okay, if not, as I see nobody else, I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2939, and thank you very much. Okay, with that, we have no other business other than, again, talking about substitutes, is that when I was appointed to this position, somebody asked me, well, you know, it's pretty rough down in the legislature. Can you handle it? And I said, I had seventh graders on April Fool's Day, 1974. I can handle it as a substitute teacher. So, anyway.
Madam Chair, that was going to be my exact question. I wanted to know a little bit more about that special day in your life.
Well, and obviously, I remember it, and it was like a long time ago.
Yes.
So, yes.
Well, so how did
traumatic.
They torture you?
They're seventh graders. It's
an upset,
teacher.
Huh?
April Fool's Day, enough said. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, Representative Hack?
Madam Chair, I seem to have noticed that not all of us received your gift today, so I'm feeling a bit left out.
Well, I do have a gift that I will give to all of you at the end of after we have gaveled out.
Okay.
Okay. With that, no other business. I close the house. Other business. I close the house. Okay. With that.